know you can't meditate. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What a difference a week makes. And I don't care if I'm echoing from outer space. It doesn't even matter.
Echo.
Nothing can
faze
me.
Dino, hit the button. Hit the magic button, will you?
There is a button. Nothing can faze me. I don't care.
No.
Matt Wilhelm doesn't care.
Coming to you from the Dog Bowl in Mars.
Mars. Yes, we are. And the Browns, 28-14. I don't even know. Can we actually do this show sounding like this?
I can.
Know. I mean, I will. All right, sure. We're just going to play it, pretend
it's fine.
That we sound normal.
Let's wait till we get these callers going.
It's going to be
sounding
crazy.
Like this.
Crazy. 28-14, the Browns win it. Johnny Manziel, some phenomenal plays. 8 of 15 on the day, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns. It really is today a reaction day. And, of course, it's so interesting, the discussion that we had to close out Friday's show, talking about if Johnny Manziel comes out, plays well, the Browns win, what do they do at quarterback for Week 3? And that will play out over the week, but obviously we can talk about that. But today's show, for the most part, I hope, is just an opportunity to go through, reflect on the win, reflect on what went right for the Cleveland Browns, why this team was able to win. And I thought it was they did a better job running the football.
They did.
They did a great job of getting pressure on Marcus Mariota.
Yes, they did.
Still like to see a little bit better blocking up front. Still like to see a little bit better on the line against the run. Or maybe it's the second level, and we'll talk about the run defense as the show goes on. But overall, this was a team that came out and did what it had to do to beat the Tennessee Titans, and they came through. There was a lull for a while with the offense, but how about Travis Benjamin?
I mean, I said it after, and I said this in the postgame show as well, with Johnny Manziel at quarterback on that play call, I was watching Benjamin. I don't know why, for whatever reason, I saw him win off the line of scrimmage, and like a schoolgirl, I scream, throw it, because I knew he had a step, and there's very few corners, and you know, Cromartie may be one of them, and last week he couldn't do it, that can make up the type of ground necessary to make a play that Manziel just needed to put it out there. And it wasn't the best throw, but Travis Benjamin adjusted. You could tell the defensive back had no clue where the ball was, and Benjamin adjusted, made it almost look like a fingertip grab to haul in a touchdown. And
on the first one?
On the first one.
First one.
And a great way to start the football game, a great way to get the crowd behind this football team. And as I mentioned throughout the week, put the Jets game behind us. You know, get some new energy, get some new karma flowing, you know, here in, you know, through the Cleveland Browns veins. And that's exactly what they did. And I was impressed with the pregame show, doing it out of Dog Pound Drive. That was my first opportunity to be out there. That was bananas. It was
fun.
Crazy. It was awesome.
Fun.
Great people watching to see the Dog Pound out in full force. So that was very cool. And then just, you mean, the sound in that new stadium and the excitement going into this football team that's centered around the Cleveland Browns, even after last week's loss. This is a fan base with, you know, an undying love for these Cleveland Browns.
The crowd was loud on the field. You really couldn't hear anything. It was an electric crowd. You talked about all the things that have happened. 7 sacks in this game. A lot of it, I think, helped with the crowd. They had false starts.
Yes.
They had timeouts they
yeah.
had to take, and it was great. 7 sacks, the most for the Browns in a game since 2012. Travis Benjamin now already has 4 touchdowns of more than 50 yards this season. The first time it's happened in the NFL since Jim Brown did it. So this guy,
best player
phenomenal.
On the Browns team right now.
He's the MVP.
He's the best player on the Cleveland Browns roster right now.
He's the biggest difference maker they've got. I don't think that's even up for debate right now. Great day for Armani Bryant. Good to see him back
yes.
from that ACL. I give him 3 sacks. They called 2.5, 1 forced fumble. John Hughes, career high, 1.5 sacks and a forced fumble of his own. This team came out. They fed off the energy. There was a good relationship, especially early, between the crowd and the team. You could see them getting fired up. I liked that they came out fast. That's what they had to do. Yes, there was a lull in that game. But overall, this team did the things that it had to do. Controlled the clock, ran the football. Isaiah Crowell was averaging 3 yards per carry after contact. After contact, 3 yards. He was struggling to break tackles
in
the first
game.
That was a big difference. Plus, they got him 2 yards down the field, and you get to 5 yards a carry. That's what we said. That's what good teams do.
And a point of emphasis by Mike Pettine in his postgame press conference was he was happy with averaging close to 4 yards per carry, and he was asked a question about Isaiah Crowell and his ability to break tackles, and he said that that was, you know, one of his best football games, and an emphasis was put on that all week, you know, to run with your pads down, to break those tackles, and Duke Johnson a few times looked like there was nothing, and he'd pop out with a burst of, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards. But something, and again, not to be negative or nitpicky, but I thought a lot of the lull, you know, was brought on by a combination of player and coach. Not putting us in the, we actually put ourselves in great situations. There were two times on first down we got 8.5 or 9 yards. And got into a 2nd and 1. One, there was a penalty that took us back to 2nd and 6. There was an incompletion, which put us in 3rd and 6. And then a second time, we get stuff for like a 3-yard loss on 2nd and 1. And I'm not even talking about the, you know, the fourth and inches. That's something we'll get to at another time. But two times you're at 2nd and 1. If I'm a play caller, first of all, with Johnny Manziel and his ability to throw the football down the field, And if you can find the right matchup
shots
defensively, take a shot, man. Everyone else around the league, you, if you watch football and listen to the commentators, you know, when you're at or around the 50, inside the 40s, and you've got 2nd and 1, take your shot. You know, here's your chance to take a shot down the field. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be, it plays into your hands. It's going to be a reception. It's going to be a pass interference or an, you know, incompletion. And in some cases, maybe an interception, which at that point, it would be a punt. And so it was just frustrating at that point that with 2nd and 1, in that lull, had we converted a first down, it's not a lull. We're not having this conversation right now.
No, but the good news is they came through, and when they needed to have the drive, that's what it comes down to in the NFL. Sometimes you can have lulls, but when they needed that drive, they had not done anything on offense. Anything. And all of a sudden, it's 21-14. They go on a 7-play, 80-yard drive. It started off with a 15-yard run by Isaiah Crowell, a 6-yard run by Isaiah Crowell, 4 for Duke Johnson, 2 for Duke Johnson. So there you go. 2 first downs on the ground when you needed it the most. And then you get to that unbelievable play, 3rd and 6 from the 50. Unblocked Brian Arakpo. You got trips to the right against man coverage with 1 safety. They brought 7. You had 6 offensive linemen with Cam Irving in there and Duke in the backfield, so you had 7-on-7, yet somebody ended up unblocked. He spins out of it. When he threw that ball, he was outside the 40 on the north side of the field rolling left.
Yes.
At the time the ball left his hands, Travis Benjamin was still outside the 20 on the south side of the field and angled across.
A little
right
bit of giddy
there,
up
right
there.
In stride. Touchdown, Browns, game over. And that was the field goal when they beat the Saints last year was a good moment.
Mm-hmm.
When they beat the Titans, obviously, in Tennessee, that was a great moment. The field goal to beat the Falcons, that was a great moment. But that one play and the elation of that play was unbelievable.
Because you knew that was the dagger.
Oh, it was game-set match.
That was game-set match. And the
good
only
night, Irene.
The only other time and the play that in my career depicts something very similar to that was Aaron Rodgers in Atlanta. The second round of the playoffs, they're bringing one more defender that we can block, and it seems as if they have eyes in the back of their head, rolls that same way and throws a strike down the football field. And that to me that's Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. That's who that is. That improvisation, that's not something you see, that's something that you feel, that's a reaction. And then the confidence and the gusto and moxie that he has as, you know, with everything that he's been through in the last year to throw a bullet, you know, across, stabilizing his feet.
He squared his shoulders.
Squared his shoulders to make that throw and have Travis, you know, put enough air underneath it that Travis can run underneath it and beat the defender was just a great way to cap the first win at First Energy Stadium this year.
I think there are only 5 quarterbacks in the NFL that could have made that play as he did it.
All right. Andy Dalton.
Johnny.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Romo.
Eh.
Romo's the master of that spin.
Okay.
And he can throw it. Romo can throw it that far.
All right.
I'll say Russell Wilson.
Could Cap?
See, when I was talking about this to somebody, Cap can probably get out of it. But the chances of him rolling left and delivering it accurately that far down the field, probably some. But I'll give him an asterisk.
Okay.
And the other guy I'd say would be Ben Roethlisberger. Now, it might not be the exact same way that he does it.
Right.
but he would be able to do that. But I was really thinking about it. I think that might be it.
Yeah. Now that RG3? No, you're right. It was a very special play, and you know better than I, having watched the game tape already. And we'll get into it throughout the show and throughout the rest of the week about Johnny's full-on performance, because in some cases, and I thought if you've listened to anybody on SportsCenter or NFL Network or read anything, those plays are not going to be there, especially now that Travis Benjamin is on the map going into, coming up to the Raiders.
But that's got to help, right? The fact that now somebody's going to game plan sure. for Travis Benjamin.
Absolutely, and that's a great thing. And that's going to be taken away. There's going to be an umbrella over Travis Benjamin now. There's going to be a defender leaning towards him. That bodes well for Gabriel getting behind a defense as a speedster on this team. Hartline, Bowe, Hawkins, working in combination with Travis Benjamin, knowing that they're going to shade his way, and you can flat out almost guarantee that you're in a one-on-one. When you're one-on-one, whoever that is matched up, along with Travis Benjamin in some type of stack formation, in some type of doubles formation. Travis Benjamin, you have to use that now to your advantage. But we still have to take our shots.
Got to take our shots. Travis Benjamin off to a phenomenal start, and it's great to see him back, really regain that form. And it's amazing.
Two guys off an ACL had their best game yesterday.
Yeah, and it's amazing for Benjamin because he was back last year. I mean, this was 2 years ago. But just what a difference for a guy whose game is predicated on speed to being back truly at 100% versus not all the way back, and what a difference it makes for his impact. Remember, he couldn't return punts last year.
Right, I know.
And we saw him take one back to the house against Tampa. We saw him take one back to the house here.
But, Nathan, this was a guy, when we looked at our wide receiving corps, he started training camp as a bubble guy.
Totally.
But emerged probably a week into camp as the best receiver. And Mike Pettine referencing him as our starter at punt returner. And at that point, you knew he was making this football team. And now he's the weapon for this team.
He is the weapon. What a great win. We're going to continue to break it down here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to hand out game balls, one to the offense, one to the defense, one for special teams as well. It's Victory Monday. Let's celebrate. Call us up, 216-578-0850. We will hear from Johnny Manziel at 1:45. We'll hear from Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, at 2. Travis Benjamin at 2:30. And then the last segment is when we give out our game balls. You guys can call up with those all day long. And where does Johnny Manziel stand in your mind after yesterday's performance? Is it a lock to you that he starts week 3 against the Raiders? Do you go back to Josh McCown? What are you thinking? Let us know. And of course, the highlight of yesterday's game, we want to hear that from you as well. Zagurin Wilhelm in outer space. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, hopefully from the Dog Bowl in Berea, back here on Planet Earth right after this.